Welcome back to the Unfair Advantage mini pod. I'm Cody Royal. I'm a former head coach. This is Alex Auerbach, sports psychologist. We're going to talk about a current event, but we're going to take a different spin on it. We're going to talk about Deshaun Watson, but we're going to talk about it from an organizational culture perspective and what it does when you preach one thing but potentially act in a different way. And so I'm going to throw it over to you first, Alex, because you're passionate to talk about this from this particular angle. And I'm curious to get your raw thoughts on not Deshaun Watson, not the Cleveland Browns, not any of the actual players in this, but from a cultural perspective, what this does to an organization.
I think it's a really interesting question. And I think, you know, what first brought this to mind for me when we were talking about it is just, you know, how do you reconcile what I would imagine is going to be kind of the opening day discussion about who we want to be as a team, what we value, what our expectations are for the season with this decision or really any decision that seems to potentially fly in the face of whatever it is you think you stand for? And so obviously this is one macro big example of a potential for disruption around that. But I think there's a lot of smaller examples where, you know, sports teams and organizations stumble in really trying to communicate one core set of values and then instead, you know, behaving totally differently. And perhaps like to take it away from Deshaun Watson specifically for a moment and to get into a concrete example, the one that I am always intrigued by is when organizations call themselves families, because there's this idea that we all want to get together and we're going to spend a ton of time together, potentially more time than we spend with our own families. And yet, if I don't like you at the end of this year, I might fire you, you know, or you might be in a different role. Or if we fight, we just may not talk to each other again, or we'll talk about each other behind each other's backs. You know, there are a lot of things that go on that I think disrupt inadvertently the culture that the organization is trying to set. So obviously this is a potentially huge example where you're trying to reconcile a $200 million decision with the espoused values of the organization. And what the signal you're sending is that winning is more important, or the chance to win is more important than standing up for the culture you want to create. But I think it happens at much smaller levels too.
Absolutely. And what's fascinating is what they're using those cultural values for and whether they're trying to paint that picture internally or they're trying to paint that picture externally. And organizations can bounce between those two as well. So, you know, in the tough stuff I wrote about, you know, the financial industry and how when you go through and you look at a lot of the big organizations, one of their values is integrity. Now, that should go without saying. But because the industry has fleeced people for so long, their own customers who they say that they care about, and they'll paint all the, you know, we care about the local communities and mums and dads, and they'll use all the emotive version. But if you have to have a guardrail for yourself, like integrity, that has to actually explicitly be in there, you're in a little bit of trouble already. But they've had to explicitly paint that picture for external purposes to try to convince people that they're acting with integrity internally. Meanwhile, their behavior indicates that they aren't. And so that's an interesting nuance as well in terms of the internal versus external. Are they just merely trying to brand themselves externally as being one thing and internally it doesn't matter so much? Or vice versa? Are they trying to talk to their players and their staff about who they're trying to become and don't care so much about how they're perceived externally?
Do you think one is more important than the other?
There's certainly nuances to that about where the organization is coming from. I personally, I take a coach's perspective on this. And so the internal facing culture to me is all that's important, whether people externally understand that, care about that, want to have their own perceptions on what the culture is, that's fine. But for me personally, all I've ever tried to do is protect our internal culture and make sure that we are acting like we say we want to, because then we're the only ones that can validate that ultimately anyway. So that's my perspective, but I understand when you're dealing at an NFL-sized level, the external perception does start to be a little bit more important. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a, you know, level like the NFL, there's always going to be some, you know, public perception you have to deal with. But I think I agree with you. I think if you build a culture well internally, it probably bleeds out naturally into the external facing stuff. It changes the language that people use and the way people talk about being a part of the group. And so I think if you haven't figured out how to build your culture internally and align the behaviors with the values and build a language around who you are and who you want to become, I think that could be a place where you end up with some of this messiness, because you end up saying one thing externally and doing something different internally, or vice versa. And I think that that ultimately ends up being really confusing for people. And it ends up basically kind of being a free-for-all. You know, it's kind of like if you, you know, have like, you know, young kids or cousins or whatever, and they always ask like why one kid gets to do something the other one doesn't do. You know, this kind of raises that same dynamic, I think. And then you get into like really deep personal issues, right? Like core issues of worth. And, you know, this player makes more money, so there's more leniency versus that player. You know, all the narratives that people, I think, work pretty hard to avoid. And so I think it's kind of like if you don't take care of your own house first, it's really hard to do a good job helping everyone else see that your house is clean. But I also think there's something to be said for this kind of internal dynamic, as I'm just thinking about it, like what we wish were true versus what can actually be true, and helping people lean into really what's possible and less of this kind of, I don't know, whimsical ideal that, you know, we should all behave a certain way. Like Owen Eastwood is great about this, where he talks about, you know, people and broad embodying the values in their own way without having to fit into some individual or consistent common way among the team. It's understanding how each individual holds the same value and recognizing that the team can collectively hold the value, but it can be lived out differently. Like, how do we lean into that a little bit more versus trying to come down from on high with, I think in some cases, the way that we wish people would feel as a way to like own their time a little bit more. Like that's what family means to me. It means like, I want to own your time and I want you to think that this is more important than anything else you have going.
Yeah. People all behaving the same isn't a culture, it's a cult. People embodying the same values in their own way is a culture. So what we pretty consistently across the board at an organizational level have tried to do is cult. And now it's actually starting to get to something a little bit more organic, right? Where people can have their own, not necessarily interpretations, but I like that word embodiment of a single idea or a set of ideas. And they're free to roam within those. And I really like the idea of, as a visualization, there's a saying in Australia, big paddock, strong fence. And so you're free to roam within that paddock. But what the culture does is it gives you that strong fence, and the fence might zap you from time to time when you get a little bit too far away, but it zaps you nicely back into the big safe paddock. And so you can have that in terms of certainly rules, but I think the culture can kind of create its own way of zapping you back in without them being hard and fast rules, which again just create that behavior, that singular behavior that we're really trying to avoid. And so, yeah, I like the way that we tend to be going, where we're allowing individualization within the collective. I think that's really strong leadership, and I think that creates really strong cultures.
I agree completely, and I think there is value in kind of individual consideration. I mean, if you think about, like, to nerd out for a minute, the transformational leadership literature is all about individualized consideration as a core part of helping people grow and develop. But I'm curious, from your experience as a coach, how you might handle a situation like this, because outside looking in, right, it only seems like inevitable before we start to be in a space where there's some sort of double standard and we have to figure that out, and players feel, you know, one way about that. And so I'm curious, you know, from your experience, if you dealt with that or how you might deal with it.
Yeah, case by case basis is how you deal with it. And you're right, it can be a slippery slope. Every single consideration needs some nuance to it. But I don't think you can create human environments without that nuance. I don't think you can create human environments without those considerations. Because yes, we do want to head in the same direction, but how each individual is trying to get there is different. So a really easy example is players with children versus players without children. So how do you navigate that? Are we saying you have to be on time in every meeting, you can't leave early, you have to stick to the schedule, and that means that if your kid is stuck at daycare for hours and hours because mum can't go and get them, that you're going to say to that father, you can't leave basketball practice, football practice, Aussie rules practice and go and get your child? And then, so then are you creating a cult, or are you creating a culture? And so you have to factor in those individualizations. You have to factor in the human element of what we're trying to do. And I think the way to address it is to create an open dialogue around why those decisions are made the way that they're made. And the way to do that is to humanize the individuals within them. So, you know, Cody's a new father that needs to go and spend time with his 12-week-old son. It's hard for anyone to say no. You know, even the young blokes who don't quite understand parenthood kind of go, oh, okay, yeah, you know, I need to go pick up their child. And so, yeah, that's where I think we can do a much better job. That's why I think we spend far too much time on the X's and O's, and far too little time on really getting to know the people that we're playing with, and that idea of deep belonging and deep humanization of the other people that we're playing with, so that we're connected in the on-court sense, in the on-field sense, but also off it. And so when there are these variances in our team rules or our team behaviors, it's that everyone knows why, and there's a little bit more acceptance. They might not agree, but there's a little bit more acceptance as to, okay, we can let him go and pick up his child who's been sitting at daycare for 4 hours on their own.
I love how you said that, and particularly the last point, the variance in the rules or behaviors, because I think what you're really saying is we don't actually have to have variance in our values. It's okay for those values to be lived out another way. Where things get really complicated is if we do something that essentially probably directly contradicts whatever the value is that we say. And so it's almost like, you know, you can color outside the lines, but stay on the canvas. Once you get outside the canvas, people are wondering what is going on. And that's where I think you end up with these questions. But to have the individualized consideration, I love what you said. I think that is leadership. I think that's what it means to appreciate each individual person's specific needs and help them meet those needs, and then recognize that there's got to be some flexibility in that. So sometimes, you know, it might have to be one way, and other times it might be another way. But there's a great saying I've heard thrown around that consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds. And so, you know, the idea that everything needs to be the same for everyone is perhaps not true. But what does need to be consistent is that we're holding everyone to the same values and standards, but how those are actualized and operationalized might look different.
And if we just go on culture, where we're taking those ideas is countries. And so when we look at countries, the brilliance of them is those individual considerations within the same value set. So not every French person eats baguettes and drinks wine and like goes and takes pictures of the Eiffel Tower, right? Like there are so many fluctuations and variations under that value set, but they all still agree we are France and we stand under this flag and we have all these symbols that recognize us, and we speak this particular language to each other, and we, you know, and so all those same items are there. But if we want to take, you know, shrink that down to an organizational level, I think we should keep all those same elements, that there are those individual fluctuations. If you don't like eating baguettes, you don't need to eat baguettes. And so, but yeah, where we then get into trouble, just to draw us back to the original idea, when there are vast fluctuations in what we have said as a leadership group or what we're trying to create, like $200 million worth of vast fluctuation, you lose that instantly. Everything you've said previously, I think almost is obliterated right out of the gate. Like you have to start again now.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this before. I think culture is hard won and easily lost. And this is going to be, I would imagine, a bit of a rebuild. But I think there's more for us to unpack on culture here in the future.